From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. This is Alan Kern saying hello to you once again, and welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This week we're continuing our study of the law of God. But there is a difference in the program format. We usually have a period each day where we have a commentary on some topic of interest. But since I'm gone from Greenville for quite a while on an overseas preaching tour, I'm leaving out the commentaries for the moment and giving us a longer period for each day's Bible study. I trust that you'll stay with us for today's study as we consider the subject of the first and great commandment of the law, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. We appreciate the constant flow of interest and response that we receive from our listeners. We're glad to be able to make some valuable resources available to you, and these are all free of charge. We have mentioned at times various special messages on cassette or CD. We have set before you our Let the Bible Speak full-color quarterly magazine, which always makes interesting reading. And recently I've been mentioning our monthly Let the Bible Speak audio magazine, a CD or cassette with testimonies, Bible studies, and music to bless the heart. Now, you may obtain any of these or all of these by writing or calling us here at Let the Bible Speak. If you're writing, our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. And our toll-free telephone number is 866-877-LTBS. 866-877-5827. Our website is letthebiblespeakradio.com, or in the abbreviated form, LTBSradio.com. And there you'll find many items of interest, including our broadcasts, commentaries on topics of interest, both in audio and text versions, and of course our internet bookstore. So I hope that you'll make sure to visit us soon at ltbsradio.com. So whether you write, or call toll-free, or get on the internet at ltbsradio.com, we trust that you'll be in touch today.
Lord, grant my yearning heart's desire that I be filled with fervent zeal to save poor sinners from the fire, to snatch them from the verge of hell, and turn them to a pardoning God, to cleanse their souls in Jesus' blood. My talents, gifts, and graces, Lord, into thy blessed hands receive, and let me live to preach thy word, and only to thy glory live. My every sacred moment spend to publish forth the sinner's friend. Enlarge in flame and fill my heart with thine own boundless love divine. So shall I all my strength exert and love them with a zeal. like thine, and lead them to thine open side. The sheep for whom their shepherd died.
A word about the exercise of love for God. Now, the Lord Jesus, in their Bible reading tonight, is quoted as saying, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." That's really quoting from Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4. Not an exact word-for-word quotation, but if you take Deuteronomy and then Matthew, and you'll look at parallel passages in Mark 12 and 30 and Luke 10 and 27, you'll find that there are actually four words that are used. We're to love God with all our heart. That always comes first in all the lists. With all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. There is a way in which the Lord is simply piling word upon word to say, love God with everything that's in your being. That's true. And yet, I can't help but think that he didn't choose these words for no particular reason. Love God with all your heart. We must love the Lord affectionately. There is a genuine affection. I know that many people, this seems to be more and more true of the intellectual among God's people. So I have to warn quite a few of you who are obviously in the intellectual segment of society to distrust emotion in religion. Now there is an emotion that's all wrong. The charismatic hype that simply works upon people's emotions, that uses the techniques of the world in order that emotions may be wrought within these people, that then they may be manipulable. That is all wrong. But was there not deep emotion in Isaiah when he saw the glory of God in his train filling the temple? Was there not deep emotion when he cried, "I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips"? Was there not deep emotion in the heart of the Apostle John in Revelation chapter 1 when he saw on the Isle of Patmos that vision of the glorified Christ and he fell at his feet as one dead? Was there not deep emotion in the heart of our Savior in Gethsemane's garden when his very sweat was like blood? I tell you, there must be an emotion that is deep and real, that is wrought out of the very depths of our being because of the greatness and the grandeur and the glory of the vision of our God. Only people who see little or nothing of the beauty of Jesus can be people without emotion in their religion. Give us a sight of Christ and we'll weep like children. Give us a sight of the glory of God and the sepulchral grandeur that we think so great that we can sit in church unmoved. It will melt like snow before the rays of the sun, and our hearts will be broken before God. I tell you, we need to learn to love affectionately. God give us an affectionate love. But then we must love the Lord with all our soul. We must love the Lord spiritually. This love is no mere fuzzy feeling. When I say we must love the Lord spiritually, I'm saying this love is a powerful, inclination of the will, and it is a firm dedication of all our faculties to promote the glory of God. That is spiritual love. And then we must love the Lord with all our mind. We must love the Lord reasonably. As I've indicated, love for God often will produce a deep ecstasy of soul. But listen now, it will never suspend the functions of the mind. How often we hear charismatics and Pentecostalists telling people to let their mind go blank. Anytime anybody tells you to let your mind go blank, you know you're not dealing with a messenger of God, but a messenger of Satan. Let your mind go blank. Just let the feelings arise. Let the feelings take over. Don't think. Very opposite to what the Word of God actually says. Those who are carried away in unthinking swoons may claim deep emotion, but it's not biblical love. Listen, those who love the Lord think of Him. What is the great crime of the wicked? Psalm 10 and 4 says, God is not in all His thoughts. God's people think of Him. They love to remember His grace and His power. Peter told the young Christians to whom he wrote in 2 Peter 1:13, I think it meet to stir you up. There's the emotion. I think it meet to stir you up. How? By putting you in remembrance. God's people remember. They love to remember. For example, do we not love to remember Calvary? Is that not why we meet around the table of the Lord? This do in remembrance of me. Do we not in prayer and in praise day by day seek to make our way to the cross, that remembering Christ our souls may be satisfied? We love to remember our conversion. Can we ever forget the grace of God extended to us? He took me from a fearful pit and from the miry clay. And on a rock He set my feet, establishing my way. We remember our conversion. We remember past blessings. The psalmist said in the 116th Psalm, as he considered this very thing, that he would love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplication. Bless God for every blessing that's passed. We love to think, we love to remember. But most of all, I say most of all because this is most important of all, not because it is most observed of all, for unfortunately it's not. God's people love to reason through the implications of the gospel. Dr. Barrett this morning commenced the morning service by reading from 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14, one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Then all died. If one died for all for whom he died, died in him. That's what he's saying. Now, Paul is saying, we judge, we discern, we deduce, we logically think through the implications of the gospel. Can I say to you, my friend, that that's how to love God reasonably? And I'll give you this hint as a Christian. The more deeply you pursue the implications of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the more deeply you will know your Savior, and the more deeply you will love your God. Then we must love the Lord energetically. because we are told we have to love them with all our strength. Love leads to action. Love is not going to leave you sitting in the corner twiddling your thumbs doing nothing for God. Love knows nothing of empty theory and vain words. Someone has said, you may love, or you may give without loving, but you can never love without giving. Love can never be inactive. You think of a mother's love, of a father's love, of a spouse's love, and see what men and women have done, what mighty exploits they have done in pursuit of such a love. And yet love for God should transcend them all. We must love Him with all our strength. Can I say to you today that it is just not right that God's people offer to the Savior the burnt out ends of their lives. So many Christians' lives remind me of a cigarette that somebody has puffed and puffed until there's just a little bit left. That little bit of your time, that little bit of your energy, that little bit of your thought, that little bit of your activity, that's what you give to God. God forbid. God forbid. Whatever your calling in life, you're to love the Lord with all your strength. Whatever you do, do it as unto Him. Wherever you're working, work as a witness for Christ, both by deed and by word. Love the Lord energetically. Then can I say, we must love the Lord preeminently. We must love Him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. We must love the Lord preeminently. If we do not, as Thomas Boston again implied, if we do not love the Lord above all, then we do not truly love Him at all. It's a far-reaching statement. If you don't love Him above all, can you honestly claim to love Him at all? We must love Him preeminently. I love the old hymn. We don't have it in our book, otherwise we would finish by singing it tonight. King, King of my life, I crown Thee now. Thine shall the glory be, lest I forget Thy thorn-crowned brow. Lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane. Lest I forget Thine agony. Lest I forget Thy love for me. Lord, lead me to Calvary. We must love our God. The effects of that love will be a proper regard for ourselves and then a proper regard for others. But that will be another study. Let me finish very briefly, but I trust as we finish, God will apply the word to all our hearts. He commands us to love Him.
He commands us to love him. Don't try to squirm out of that command. You may say, Lord, I don't do this, I don't do that, I don't do the other thing, I don't go here, I'm not involved in something else. It's like a murderer going before the judge and saying, but Judge, I never stole any candies. How ridiculous. But not as ridiculous as the man who would talk such foolish nonsense about his own supposed righteousness and yet have no love for God. He commands us to love him. And he teaches us that those who do not love him are doomed and damned eternally. Unless grace gives them a new heart. If any man love not our Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. Devoted to God's everlasting curse. And let me ask you tonight, are you saved? Do you love the Lord? Do you love him? If not, then look to Christ. Look to Christ. In him alone can you know God. In Christ alone can you come to see your God in the glory of his grace. Remember that knowing him is the very first element in loving him. Christ is God's perfect gift of love. See him tonight. God and man. Perfect, sinless, spotless and pure. See him on his way to Calvary. See him hung then upon that tree. See him in that almighty passion and the shedding of his blood. See him buried and risen again from the dead. And as you look on Christ, as you gaze on Christ, receive him. Receive him as personal Savior and Lord. Hear his call. And as you receive him, what will you receive? Listen, you'll receive as God's free gift the imputed righteousness of Christ's perfect love for God. For let's be honest. We must love God. And if we're saved, we do love him. But how imperfectly? How imperfectly? Thank God when a person receives Christ, God puts to his account all the righteous merit of the Redeemer, including the righteousness of his perfect love for God. That's put to our account. Sinner, look to Jesus. Look now without delay. Enter into life by faith in him, for that saving faith is altogether necessary to loving him. And if you are saved and you're lamenting that your love is marred by so much imperfection and so much inconsistency, again, I say, look to Christ. Remember the imputation of the righteousness of the Savior's love for God, that it's all yours. With the sight of Christ by faith, a faith that Paul says works by love, then will you be enabled to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.